clearing your mind is to review that diagram that I gave you. You see what is the current practice. Namely, two bowls, one Zriya, one Hashoka. We'll see the big advantage of that. Concern for some other points. Let's see if I can cover them all yesterday. Let me take a quick review. Basically, you're throwing out almost words alone. Okay. The dictionary of mikvos is mikveh, mekshomim, meimayon, mayim shuvim. Anyone who can give a dictionary definition of these, right, please check. Arbom saw, recognizing that the halacha lemaaseh we just accepted, since it was no big deal in most circumstances, accepted the shitas hamachmirim, even though there's little basis for it, I think, namely something close to 200 gallons. Hamshocha. Hashoka, Zriya, and Shfoferes Hanod, term we use once or twice. That's the reference to the opening between the mikveh of Mayim Shuvim and the mikveh of Mayim Meikshomim, or the so-called Moko. Again, in fact, we don't have a mikveh of Mayim Shuvim, because our mikveh went to a bol Zriya, so it's no longer Mayim Shuvim. Pialoche is already a kosher mikveh. The big advantage, we'll get to it soon in the text, is to try to satisfy the Ravid. The Ravid is the one in Balei Nefesh who emphasizes that you must have at all times a residual of the original mekshom. Now with a bol zriya you can't have that. Right? In the course of a short amount of time, the amount of city water that you enter into that bowl will surely dilute out all the original water. The aloche, almost all the shodim is perfectly fine. Koite raivet not. It always must have 21 saw of the original. That's the expression, nosan saw venotal saw. Okay? Therefore, our system today of having a bo hashoka at the very end pretty well guarantees that. One other word, hashoka. You all remember what that was? Recall why we use the word hashoka? Who remembers? Okay, I told you that according to many Rishonim, just taking Mayim Shuvim and throwing it on the ground and have it run three tvachim into the bowl already is makshir the water. So we do that also. We put the if you have it on the diagram too. Give a number to that, Yudalev, let's see. Right. Look at your diagram, Yudalev. Alec, you have it there? You have your diagram written? Even the city water coming in already has a heter going with it from somebody. The Yud Aleph there, Shokas Ham Shocha. Look at the faucet on top, the faucet Ches, right? That water runs down, not into the Boz Ria directly, but runs along the ground into the Boz Ria. You see it? Okay. The psulim that could be with mikvah, then again, view it from that negative point of view. Chosar. This is a little checklist that I've used for many years, involved in the mikveh, in putting together a mikveh, and let the people understand what you have to do. Chosar means must have memsor, right? Zochlin. Okay. Here we'll discuss that in the text. Zochlin is not such an easy set of halachas either. Zochlin, when the water is pouring out, you know what it is, that's zochlin. What about a little leak in the mikveh? Okay. As you might know from personal experience, there are situations where you didn't expect any problem. You have a shower stall, and it has ceramic tile on it, right? It was put together by a plumber, an expert, right? Ask your parents in the course of time why you have to, quote, regrout it, why suddenly your mother notices on the room beneath the floor of the bathroom, right? Bathroom is upstairs, and there's a room downstairs. Suddenly she sees a stain on the ceiling. Where'd that come from? Right? Visualize that your shower stall was a mikveh. Obviously, there's a little leak in the mikveh. A little leak, maybe, if you filled it up, if you filled your shower stall up, kept it, you know, closed down the drain, and let it fill as much as would an inch or two of water, and leave it there, the chances are that in the course of a week you will not lose an inch of water. You won't lose a quarter of an inch of water. Alpha became Zochlin, will that possible a mikveh that has that kind of little leak? These shiners come up all the time. Every mikveh, sooner or later, needs care. Right? And if the care is delayed a little bit, it comes a shayla. Until I get the plumber in to do what he has to do, can the mikveh be used? Or must the women be asked to go to another mikveh in the meanwhile? Or they say, no, Zochlin is Zochlin. Zochlin means a discernible, right, flow of water out, same as you would in a natural stream outside. And a little bit of a leak is not important. Picked that up in the halacha. Right. Gimel Lugin, pasul a mikveh if it was not a kosher mikveh. It was a mikveh of less than memsor, and then someone added only gimel ugin. Now gimel ugin, if you use a vavius halug, is 3.3 ounces, right? Then a lug is what, some 13 ounces, and gimel ugin is some 39 ounces, which is pretty close to the British liter. Our quart is 32 ounces, right? This will be a little over 39 ounces. In a mikveh, then, as I pointed out, when you empty the water, you have to make sure there's no gimel lugin that remain in that mikveh from the efforts of this cleaning staff who will hose down the mikveh after the water is taken out. They sometimes scrub down the walls and every week or two, and they hose it down, and there's water left in the mikveh. It's not hard to put together a quart of water on the surface of a big mikveh, the walls, and that requires you to mop up that water before you let more kosher water in. But since this gimel ugin preceded the kosher water, all the kosher water that falls into the gimel ugin won't be makshir the mikveh. Okay, that's it. What else did I have here? The Omek Hamayim. It should be a hand breadth above the belly button. Approximately, that makes the Omek Hamikveh approximately 4 feet. That's what we do. We don't want a mikveh any deeper than that, really, because then they're afraid. They need a lifeguard at the mikveh. Tefillah derech shchiva is okay. He said everybody agrees that kol gufo is a deraisa, but we have no problem with the dimensions of the mikveh. It has memsor, and a person has to prostrate, dunk themselves in a horizontal position. That's fine. Let me read, then we'll start again the Shulchan Aruch. Let me read you from the Rambam, Hilchos Mikvaos, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Yud Beis. Dovo boru v'golui, shatumos v'taharos zeh sakosur hei. ואינן מדבורים שדייתו של אודם מחרתו, הרי הן מכלל חוקים. וכן התפילה מן התומוס מכלל החוקים הוא, שאין התומה תית או צוה שתבוא במים, אלא גזירס הכוסב, איזה הכוסב היא, והדובר תולוי בכוונס הלב. לפיכך אמרו חכמים, טובל ולא הוחזק כאילו לא טובל. אף הפי כן, רמה יש בדובר, כשם שהמכוון ליבו לטהר, כיוון שטובל טהור, ואף הפי שהוא נסחדש בגופו דובר, כך המכוון ליבו לטהר נפשו מטומאס הנפושוס, שם מחשבוס ודאוס הרעוס, כיוון שהסכים בליבו לפרוש באוסון עצוס, והביא נפשו נמי הדס טהור. הרי אומר, וזרקתי עליכם מים טהורים, וטהרתם מכל תמוסיכם, מכל גילוליכם, אתר אסכם. השם ברחמו ורבי מכוחת אובון, והשומו יתרנו אומן. תוזן, another loss, no one knows what he meant it. Api aloche. He said, לפיקו חומו חכמים, טובל ולא הוחזר כאילו לא טובל. מה זה mean? You have to have kavona for the tefila to, I told you before, we learned yesterday already, you don't need kavona. A tsunami, a wave that comes over you, if the wave has memsor in it, you don't need any kavona for tefila. If someone should fall in to a lake, a woman falls in into a lake from a rowboat, and the water is deep enough to be kosher for a mikveh, right? She's tohova, assuming no chatzitzas and so on, etc. Halacha l'maaseh, we wouldn't be machshir such a tefillah, because we. Remember, we learned already that in Hilchos Chavifa that Iyun, self-examination, is a deraisa requirement before. Then we don't know whether maybe she has chatzitza on her and it fell off on the way out of the water. But otherwise, in theory, anyway, you don't need any kavana. So what the Rambam is referring to is basically the status of halacha in your mind. If you don't believe in it, and the whole thing seems strange, hocus pocus, the taina that the Shulchan Aruch refers to, attempt to refute, and Sassof it says, even though she's very clean, she can't become tahor until she goes to a mikveh. It's not to do with cleanliness, it has to do with halacha, as over chukim. It also explains why we have a mood of chumre. Of something I don't understand, it's hard for me to make evaluations less than what you tell me. I don't understand what you're talking about. I can only then accept the discipline of what you're saying. I can't accept the rationale of what you're saying. There's no rationale. That's the status of chukim in all the missals, especially over here, which is almost the most complex of all chukim. Every aspect is only chukim. There's no rational aspect to it whatsoever. Okay, let's go back to the text a little bit. Where did we get up to? We jumped ahead a little bit.
We did through Zion.
Yeah?
Straight through we did through Zion. But we jumped around.
Straight through to where?
We did through Zion.
Through Zion, okay. Okay, yeah. None of these are really nogeya here. Pick up Tesvav. I think that's nothing there before. It needs your attention. Although I guess you want it really. What we're skipping is has to with Tfilas Kalim, not with Tfilas Odom. Mikvah yesh b'arabo amso. Or mayan kol shehu. Mayan doesn't need memso. Yochol lishov kol ma sheyirtze litin l'socho. You can add as much shu'uvim as you want to it, b'hem k'shevim. Af api shem rabim al mayim shoyu b'socho t'chilo. Says in chiluk ben kodam hamayin lishuvim olo kvoshin is boil, right? Because by mayan we don't have the problem of gimulugin to pasul the mayan, only pasul the mikveh. Mayan lekama simimem, there's someone to argue on a mayan too. Aba kozman shem b'mikveh memso afilim eino choser el kol shehu. Noflus ocho gimulugi maim shuvin poslu losha shavam bekli losha sochik kisuso vigvia la maim shabo noflum komo habe. Even though it's not in one spot, it's in one shot. Nechein hamaare mihatzot mehatzartzor matum im komos harbe de socho. It's like spraying from a watering can. Oche zokam the chofnaba. I feel nothing on me snakeelim, shosha, mizemat, mizemiat, misalfin. A medvar mamurim, if it's all the same, continuous. But to add, someone goes ahead to a mikveh, right, it doesn't have yet memsor, and throws in a little bit, throws in a shops glass of water, and next year throws in, right, a medvar mamurim, shemasal, bikliya beiz, ashol posa, bikliya rishon. Avol and posak harishon kodem sheiskel hasheni aim itself in. Vimhiskel habeiz at shelo posak harishon davke misho shekelim avol midalid aim itself in. Yamei dolam urim shemeyar beim itself in so yevidaito mitchil itin kol hasot shenugin. Avol but it was a process. He began even though he did it slowly. In mitchilo yedaito niten kol hashlosha lugin afilim ronosel al mat mat mikama kelim ad shehishlim legimul lugin posul, so that the fellow cleaning out the mikveh, right? His intent is to clean out the whole mikveh, right? Then he goes and he sprays a little bit on one wall, and then stops and uses a brush and brushes down that wall. then he goes to the next wall, etc. But in the sum total, he deposits Gimelugin. That's considered, even though it was not Mitzuruf in the classic continuum, right? But the Machshava intent to finish the cleaning job, that would be, that would combine all the waters in there, that's Gimelugin, and passes the mikveh. You know, something that I left out, I don't know how we didn't pick it up in the Khatifa business. I might have mentioned it, but I think we missed something in there about a woman taking a shower or using Mayim She'uvim after going to the mikveh. Maybe you have a problem of shuvim impacting on the mikveh. How about Mayim She'uvim impacting on the woman? Anyone could recall, you did some learning on your own, what that shayla is. Okay. The Mishneh in Mikvos, that if a woman, after going to mikveh, pours gimelugin on her head, because it was dirty water, stagnant water, smelly water, and she wants to feel clean when she comes out of the mikveh, so she prepares a bucket of water and dumps it on her head, it passes the tefillah. How's that?
That's midrabanan.
Of course. What? Remember the lashon?
Oh, so you don't think that that's the
shelo yomru lo elu betarin ela einu betarin? Why? Because that notion of cleanliness comes in. And after a while, we're afraid people will say, what really makes you clean is the last bucket of water. So why worry about the preliminary? Therefore, they possibly. That's the basis for today. For many women who don't want to take a shower, or were instructed by the Kala classes not to take a shower after the mikveh. Some women, many women, despite the effort that the mikveh management makes to give a sense of cleanliness and so on, the fact remains that a whole bunch of women went into the water before she did. They don't change the mikveh water after each woman. Right? Mikveh water is changed at maybe at night, and in many places only 2-3 times a week. And then a night, 10, 12, 15, 20 women use the mikveh. Okay? Oh, everybody comes in clean, right? They all do the chafifa before. Safa became, right? You don't want to sleep on a sheet that someone slept on before you. Okay? Sense of cleanliness. Sheet is perfectly clean. The person didn't have AIDS. Many, if not most women, most of our women, right, prefer to take a shower after. There's really no objection to it at all. That gzeira there has to do with time and place. There's no such general gzeira that you can't put on a head any water after that. Yeah. If it's immediately after mikveh, no. So if she goes to mikveh, right, and then wants to go into the bathroom and take a shower, there's really no objection to it. I tell you, Allah Chalamaisa, and most women are taught not to do that. So those who insist will go home and take a shower at home before they prepare for bed. But it doesn't seem to be really a... We'll find the place where the Shaft discussed it. Okay. What's that here? One second. Okay. I prepared give out there were others that important that we'll be giving out on this Indian, but here you don't really understand halacha until you see it halacha lemaisa, how a shail is at. Okay. We spoke about this a little truva here on Shintes Vov, on page Shintes Vov. Asiyas mikru v'keach anasa b'machona. The halacha is clear. Shulah records that sheleg and kerach, right, natural, no problem. That's not true, even though the ice was transported from the lake. But if it's lake ice, natural ice, so we are matir to make a mikveh from melted ice. I told you it's critically necessary in areas where you can't count on the rainfall to fill the mikveh. Which means it's too obvious an answer. Inni kosei b'kitzu halocha l'maisi b'dvarag ha-kunz ice. The word kunz means artificial also. It means trick ice, right? Kunz. Kunz ice. Who kerach anase b'mechono shein lasos mizeh mikveh. B'chol tfutzos Yisrael ein osu mizeh mikveh. Yisroch lachkos ha-gshomim. B'mokom she'ike kerach shenase b'nahar osu b'agamim. B'kir sachorif, yesh lasos mizeh kerach hazeh. But naturalize it, no problem. I'll share with you Mitzvah next week. From the Sefer Taras Hamayim, Rav Tamashov Zecharon Levroche, who was the mikveh man in America for many years, he was the fellow who ran around being machshir mikvos. It was a big bucky in Hilchos Mikvos. He has a Sefer Taras Hamayim, which is still available on. In the bookstores for $2-3, a very valuable sefer. Yeah, we'll share with you, Mitzvah Hashem, some of his shailas. He's the one that discussed the shaila about shark skin for a woman who can't get her head wet, and so on. He has a whole bunch of nice shuvas there, but also a lot of technology of how you put together a mikveh, of the various conditions, modifications of the plumbing and so on. He has there a discussion of also of artificial ice, where there are shitas hamachshirim on that too, b'shas adchak. Okay. This discussion of Shir Mikveh is relevant in all Shiuri Torah. Refresh your memory from last Pesach, how much matzah you ate for Shir Kazayis. You ever see such an egg? When did we use an ostrich egg as the Shir of Beitzek? Right. Well, this Katnu Hashiurim, Katnu Habit. But there are other Shiurim that are always given alongside them. They're Shiurim based upon the etzbos of a man.
People have gotten bigger, not smaller.
If you're going to change the Shiurim of the eggs, you got to change the Shiurim of the men also. Right? You stick with the Shiurim of the men, then you realize that our eggs are just about the same. When it comes to Shir Mikveh, of course, it's very critical, especially in places where it's difficult to make as big a mikveh as we make today. This room is room available for building the mikveh. Doesn't allow for it, and so on. So look at this thing. Hine bidvar hashiurim shehevi kamashitas v'achonim, as I gave you yesterday, right? You had everything running from 77 gallons to almost 200 gallons. Here, you have what's known as Occam's razor, right?
Occam.
Call that one?
What? Occam's razor.
Huh?
Occam's razor.
Occam's. Yeah. What is it? Do you remember?
In obscure matters, hypothetical events should not be postulated. In obscure matters, hypothetical events should not be postulated.
Without need.
Without need.
It has to do with the Gordian knot. That's where the mythology comes in.
Occam's razor, I don't think has anything to do with mythology.
Yeah. Occam's razor was put forth by William of Occam
in the 11th century.
Okay.
Yeah, it's to avoid dealing with questions as how many angels can dance on the head of a pin.
Right. Occam's razor was used to resolve the problem of the Gordian knot. The Gordian knot was supposedly a knot that no one can untie. One would untie it would be a miraculous thing. Someone tied it. Came along a fellow by name of Occam. He said, there's no problem. He took out his razor and he cut the knot. From which we learn a principle in logic. Namely, the simplest solution is the best. Okay. That's the layman's interpretation. Okay? Kibol she'en lanu b'shiurim she'nemru be'atzvos. I underlined something there for you. Ela kifiyu hanoshim shel ganeinu. English translation, Hakmanish Kinshaini, it doesn't make sense. All this machokus about Shiurimah. Shiurimah, what Shiurimah? And Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us extant, alive today, a ruler known as mankind, humanity. Dimlokein leker shem gvul, darei ulai hoye bedoro shel chazal anoshim kiflayim o pi sholosh mikfi shebedoroseinu. Voyu lonu loy lem chazal odiv lonu shir echad shir achad kotsuv sheyedua gam ledoro shelonu. V'meishinu hoyod baruch hakodesh sheizkatnu. גם ריקה מן דאמר בשבת דאב צדיק בייז בזמן משה לא יגבו אנוש יוסף מי בזמן הגמור ולא הוקטנו עד זמן הגמור אין לא חשוקטנו מזמן הגמור עד עתה. Ah, you see some people are really big, right? Most of them are these very big people. For some reason, always wear short pants and run up and down on a basketball court.
Well, actually, there's very few of them.
The rak yichidim hoyu gvurim har b'mianshei dorim kmo Moshe Rabbeinu. Right?
Most people.
First, the Moshe Rabbeinu, the Medrash, Moshe Rabbeinu was so tall and he had an axe that was so long, and he jumped up and he hit Og Melech HaBoshon in the knee. Right. Okay. That has nothing to do with us, he says. Well, man domar shekol ha-leviyim shoy bezman Moshe eser amos. Right. Now, what is eser amos? Right. If an Amma is 22.8, right? This Amma isn't that. Basketball players that tall, I think. Right? Was it 22.8? So it's 228 inches, right? What is it? No, 22.8. An Amma is 6 times 3.3, right? Nice, but Luchum, why? Mean actually could be a little less than that, but I mean that's the armor that we measured today, 21.8 inches, right? So how much? How many feet is that? Yes, what's that?
What?
Yeah. Well,
what was the computation?
I'll make him 10 feet tall. Right? No, I can't be S. I was out of foot.
10 feet is how many amos? 10 feet is 120 divided by whatever your shear of an amma. It's 22.8.
You had an amma 22.8 inches, and the people were 19 feet tall.
People were 19 feet tall?
If there were 10 amos tall.
No. No.
What?
You said 10 feet or 10 amos?
Huh?
10 feet or 10 amos?
10 amos.
10 amos.
And an amos is how many inches?
No, that's 10 amos is almost 16 feet. Right.
If everybody was that length, all that we find out from the fact that they were 10 amos tall.
The what?
If everybody was that height, then all we find out from the fact that they were 10 amos tall is that they had really, really short arms.
All right.
I mean, if everybody's that height, then that's the length of an
Abba,
so.
Mustama Gamka Isorim Osgulim, right? Shemese Midbo, Shoy Yisraelim, I grown to, right? Cholapochas of Cheshbon, right? Habekayim, how you Eser Amos, come up on a Nefiko, Bishir Mikro Lomar Shamandamba. Where they get this shir mikveh of Amar al Amom? An Amar is a shir that a body occupies. In order for someone to sit comfortably, he needs a place of an Amar. Right? He needs a seat of 28 inches. Amo al amo, right? And Rochav is Gimel Amos. Gimel Amos puts a man into what? 5.5 feet tall. Correct? Gimel Amos, if it's, they round it up to 22, right? So 66 inches, right? So there'll be five and a half feet tall. Kilonimsa bigmor and shumachlokes bishir hamikve im amar lama brum shalosh o yuramos ha beizu gimramos rochem el nitzach lomal if he said the bechol do hu kishir ezbar shal odom beinani bedorom im kein after name is a shinu bedoros elu bizmana gimora nam hava shir lefi ezbar shanach terom bedoros elu. That's claim number one. I'm not arguing. It could have been that they were unusually large, tall people, etc., etc. But it's clear, Chachamim recorded for us the halacha, how we have to conduct ourselves, and they truly recorded it, not just for their generation, but for all future generations. Therefore, Vaday is the shir of our Adam Beinoni. Adam Beinoni, what is it really? 5'6". I think a little bit. Little small for that. I think maybe not. I think the average man is 5'8". I think it's the cheshbon they give, 5'8".
In modern times, the average
women are small. Women 5'6", 5'8" already tall women, so called. Women are 5'4", 5'3". Right. Well, Betzem, that's the Betzem. So Yeshum Shinu Midor Shibazman Moshe Uzman Agamorov is Manino. But came Ashram Irashish, Shekosa Apilo Engavom shall be in El Gimel Amos Kamonu, right? Vare Agmor Ayreb is Manom, Pirish Rashi Shem, right? What about what? They force that out, Emmy. Make a month. Here we have to. Next page on this one, or
that's
the next page. The staples on the wrong side, like always. Gambizman Moshe Hanoshim the Almo ravaged man was Rakshalo Shamos Kikolazman. But also Adol Lovat, Shazokul Matatola, Hoygwan Esramos. Moshe Zatzal wouldn't argue with a statement in the Gemara. You tell me that they were 10 hours, 10 hours, fine. That has nothing to do with us. Why? There are two separate concepts. One is called historical, and one is called halachic. They may very well record historical facts, and not to argue with those facts. But those facts don't impact on the halacha. The halachic is what Aloha said. Therefore, since the Aloha was given for Ludoros, it's clear that if the people, Moshe Rabbeinu's main responsibility was to transmit the Torah to the next generation, and Nishurim are Aloha Moshe Misinai, all Shurim Aloha Moshe Misinai. Therefore, what did Moshe Rabbeinu, what was he doing there? Teaching the people halachas that would, what, and antiquate, they'd be antiquated, right, by the next generation? Of course not, he says. Right? Loche niche da midos shel ha-mishkon va-kelim hoi b'midos shelonu. Right? And if you go ahead, the Mokom HaMishkan was 500 Amos and 500 Amos. Right? That's the Mokom of the Kedusha of Har HaBayis. Right? That's the area of the Azorah. Right? Measured by what? By what yardstick are you using? Vada is our yardsticks. I am Barashid Amosh and Kedesh. And Rashi is referring to our shiurim, he says. And if indeed, in other words, he's questioning whether there ever was other shiurim. Other size of men. The fact that there was an unusual individuals that went around with Barnum Bailey Circus, and they were displayed as giants. Yeah, I remember seeing on in the circus a man that was 8'2", 8'3", 8'4". I think there were basketball players that are 7 feet something. But you don't see too many of them around. And those that you do see, unfortunately, are usually physiologically damaged. It's some kind of hormonal aberration that led to them. And they are never, you don't see them in a physically sound, how they walk, and so on. You realize that they're damaged people. אלא ודאי שגם בדור ההוא הויטב העולם רק בגובה גימול עמוס ואזבוז והעמו כמילס אנושים לכל הדורוס לא נשתנה כלום. I think more mentions very tall generation ורק יזכור שבדור ההוא שזוכו למתן תורו הגביה מהקודש ברוך הוא לגובה עשר עמוס. You never argue with the text. That's what the text says, fine. But again, say that's good for a historical record. Has nothing to do with halacha. Halacha was given, that's the key emphasis. Halacha, Alosh, Chamosha, Messina was given with Doros. What good would it be to give you Mishurim based upon an unusual generation? ולכן המידו שנחשו כבי הטיביוס האנושים שהוצרו ליוס וכנסה המשכן והכלים מדל רמוס לשבס וכל דובו לא לפי גובו יסחור שבנו ראו שהיו רק מעשה ניסים אם כן שלא נעשה שום שינוי באנושים יש לנו לימדו באספה של אנושים בינונים ויהיו מידה המיטיס בין שייך לפלפו בזה בריס מחלוקיס. I mean, you realize what this says about the size of a becha for kiddush, how much matzah you're supposed to eat. You can't do that. You cannot go ahead and assume that there was a previous time different shiurim than we have today, meaning different yardstick for measuring shiurim than we have today. Well, am I say? Yeshon Lidod, whatever it is, Avol Kivon Chosalonu Leida Babiru Mihu Beinani, Yesh Lahachme Losses Bene Sophic. There you have a good point. What's called average? What's the average man? Right? So, does that mean statistical average? The average man has 1.9 feet, right? you take an average, the guy has no feet, the guy has 1 foot. So therefore, the average man has 1.9 feet. We know that the average man is may only be less than that because some of them are no heads. Those that go into politics and so on. Here goes halacha lemaise. V'hine ani modadati b'harve v'nimtza amo shel Torah al midos inches chof aleph v'raviya 21.2 inches. Avo misofek zaz yesh lanu lahachme b'mikve ad chof dalet inches amo av shel adayti uchum yisera כי יוסם יחוב גימל למצוסי איש יש להשיב לבינרי שאצבא גודל כל כך. Now, the אצבע he's talking about is the widest point on the thumb. That's our Kabbalah. Right? That's the Shir Ezba. Okay? He says, I ran that experiment. Height of a man is not the only determinant for the width of a finger. That's why this suffix comes in, right? You know, there are people with slender fingers, they become piano players or something, right? Artists, right? There are some people who have stubby fingers. So it's not so easy to associate Adam Benini, based upon height, with Odom Benini based upon the width of finger. I'd have to measure finger widths and see what the Benini there is. So to avoid that complexity, and I tried it once using a micrometer, you don't get too many big differences. Nevertheless, there are some people have very wide fingers, some people have very slender ones. Therefore, that's the decision he made to go Lechumra and move it up from 21.2 something to 24 inches for an amma. Bechlal ein letzamsem b'tov shi'ahava yosem yashir. Some is good not to try to be as cheap as possible, as economical as possible. You mean something, you don't want to waste too much water, don't want to dig too big a hole. You can be a little more luxurious. Now comes about the eggs. So I says, Midas HaOdom Lat. But what do you do with shurim that are not measured on Midas HaOdom? Shurim that are measured by another standard. Now, so happens that Revi'is is measured by Midas HaOdom too, not only by Beitza, as you'll see. He also gives his shiur with Ezbos. Ezba and Ezba also Gimel Ezbos, 1 by 3. But Midas HaBeitzim, he says, Niskatu Kedisa B'Tzalach. Avaloha noshim. Vemele ein lashgiach al midas habeitzim el al midas hezbos. So the truth is that eggs have gotten smaller. So I'll give you a little bit of my research. When I first came to Eretz Yisrael, someone told me that there's in a Moshe Machnayim, there's a fellow who's raising the original chicken. This is a guy with a private interest, not a commercial interest. Yeah. And he's raising the chicken, I think he called the Cortland chicken. claiming that was the original chicken before chicken scientists got to work on it to give you a chicken that you like. And obviously, they didn't ask many of you. If they did, you most likely want a chicken with dark meat, not white meat. But in America, and in France, and in England, white meat is more choshev. So they went ahead, they bred out chickens. Our chickens can't fly. Chickens fly. Our chickens can't fly.
Yeah, I saw that last night.
Yeah?
I saw that last night.
Yeah.
We just made a class. Yeah, we had these chickens that were no interest or ability to fly.
What do you mean?
I'm taking practical shchita with what's his name?
Rabbi Loiki.
Yeah. So they brought in chickens last night.
Yeah.
They're trying to show us how to hold a chicken to shacht it.
Yeah. Okay.
And those chickens were just sort of
sitting. A wild chicken. We don't have wild chicken, but we have pheasants in the wild, partridge in the wild, which, of course, they fly well. Now, we have in Muncie, marching around in large, large numbers, turkeys. I'm talking turkeys this size.
And
the Canadian geese.
You too, eh?
The Canadian geese.
No, that's geese. I'm talking turkey. Our turkey.
But turkeys are
always
flyers, too.
Yeah, where is it? In Long Island, there was a... They opened up a turkey hunting last week because of the large numbers of in Muncie, the chutzpah of these animals. They march in numbers, like 8, 10, 10, 12, march right across the roads. You have to stop your car until they make up their mind to go all the way to the other side. But they fly. These are 30, 40 pound turkeys. Right,
and they fly,
you chase them, they take off. Why? Well, they don't have white meat. White meat means what? What does white mean? It means no blood. It means that the blood supply is reduced to that area. That's why the meat is white. Wherever the muscles are needed, you only have dark. Therefore, a chicken walks, so he has dark meat on the legs, right? But the breasts were bred mutants, misfits of nature, right? They were bred to give you the white meat. This fellow, I went to see him in the Kibbutz Machanayim there, in Moshe Machanayim there. He has a large coop. He has maybe 10, 12 chickens, and the chickens are this high, certainly 2.5-3 feet high, right? Yeah, more like a turkey, and they lay eggs once in 2 weeks, and the egg is an egg. Egg is the size of a duck egg. Okay, people ever eat duck eggs? In my days, we ate duck eggs. They were sold on the market. The big ich is a duck egg. Right. A duck egg is about twice the size of a chicken egg. So there's no doubt about it that in breeding out the chickens to have white meat, they also bred out chickens to produce a lot of eggs.
Actually, those are completely different breeds of chickens.
I'm sorry?
Those are completely different breeds of chickens.
Of course.
So the chickens that they breed to lay a lot of eggs don't have a lot of meat.
Don't have what?
They don't have a lot of white meat. Those chickens fly.
And I'm sure, as I said, they breed chickens for one purpose. I mean, in my days, we used to spend summers on the Catskills on a farm. The bungalow, then became the bungalow colonies. 100 people, all people that you see all year, buy together or rent together, etc. In my days, you went to there was a farmer, usually a Goyish farmer, and he had to rent 2-3 bungalows, Yeah. And you weren't always went to a farmer. Why? Under the belief that fresh unpasteurized milk must be healthier, right? and fresh chicken eggs with the dirt of the chicken still on there must be healthier, right? And that's what we did. So we're fully aware, right, that major changes occurred in my lifetime in chickens. That a chicken would lay an egg every day, unheard of. And nowadays, chicken lays egg every day. Those that don't, as I mentioned here, become chicken soup. Right. Yeah. So that's the problem now. That's what he says. So where are we up to now? The egg certainly changed in size. There's no doubt about it. Mashfel knew that from his own experience in the Catskills. We used to go together to the farms. You saw this whole different thing there. Shrail came from Europe. He came from. He had chickens. Every house had raised a few chickens. They're a little closer to nature than we are today. But we didn't change. That's the point. So forget about the shield and beitzer. The same shield are given with as bows. מיחס שחזינו שהבייסים נזקטנו, יש לא חוסה גם מהשיעורים נזקטנו, מילא נשגיח על שיר שיעורים שברמב״ם, שחוסי פתורו, וגם איפה ששעד הרבה נזגדלו, איך שהשינו היה רק נזקטים, איפה שגם שישינו נזגדל, כי אם שם שישינו בין הדורוס, איפה שישינו שני הצודים, איפה יש זאת? Anyway, what you have here is a very, very important halachic statement that cuts through all the nonsense. And what I gave you, all this machlokes and shir mikveh, etc. Right? Yeah. If the shir of man didn't change, and the shir of man is, and said, Amma alama b'rum gimel amos, that's the shir mikveh. And if an amma is 21.25 as he has it, or 21.8 as other habit, or as the Chazunish has 24, Chazunish like the 24 number, right? Says, oh, fine, you can go with 24, but that's it. You're not going to end up with a mikveh of 200 gallons. Now here comes, this was a big shaila, not an easy one that led to big battles in town. Someone wanted to make sure that our women don't have any problems with going to the mikveh, cleanliness, etc. So very simple. What is the sink in your house made of?
Porcelain.
Stainless steel, right? So he decided to line the mikveh with stainless steel. It happens to be a darn good idea. Using tile, you have always every piece of tile, the smaller it is, the more vulnerable it is to water, because in between the tiles, the grout, that's the weak point. Right? You have big tiles, right? It's better. When I recommend mikvahs, I say to use the large tiles, the tiles that's used on the floor. The plateaus, the big plateaus, because you cut down on the number of weak points in the wall. Now, what if you use stainless steel? How many stainless steel? It's ready, it's metal, it's mekabel tuma. Var tassin dakim shamatras, in mekabel tuma, a mission befereshes, right? Mitasim hein tahorim. Rabbi says, a pshuti kli matris is mekabel tumah. Don't talk about base cable, right? You have a spatula, a stainless steel spatula. Well, it's mekabel tumah, and it's tefillah, right? But I'm dealing with what? Slabs, which are not in the shear of a kli. Therefore, it has no shem kli on it. Therefore, it's not mekabel tumah. To be mekabel tumah, you need what? Heli, ochlin, or odom. Behemah is not mekabel tumah, right? If it's not a kli, it's not mekabel tumah. If a kli is not nigmar, it's not mekabel tumah. It's like yet shem kli olam. Why is it shehosin lasus kli mehem av kli poshet tzov lechatkom b'midah tzov haloniach al hashulchan v'al hatan ochdomah. Avo behem kivisha heim ato, o shenasim etzchiles. So I must spell that word. I must pronounce that word. It means when they are poured out, etzchiles. His chaton, when the metal is molten and poured out. Kefi amida l'shamash behem areihim b'shem kelim makabim tum b'shem chavusim b'shem tikkun. Those are those that are already made to be used as what? As a griddle, as a cover of an oven, of a stove, made already. But if you go ahead and give me a 2 by 4 feet slab, and it is an industrial size which people buy and then cut to their size what they want, right? Ubitasim keilu ayre dibri chayim. Shebidibri ashol nema mishumdim chubom lakaka ein tos keilim al atasim. Vazeh heishiv v'onasso atasim itchila leyosos bakaka osso litvo b'mikvazu. Shebichusu ubitasim keilu. Dibri chayim, that's a tzanzorov, right? That child was asked to him and he answered it. That's is relevant now to this shayla was asked to the Moshe on another mikveh, a current mikveh there. Says the fact that they asked over there, right, doesn't mean anything, because those were made for use, and unless lo nasu atasa metchila leosos mekarka. Okay, that's the next point I want to bring into our discussion. How do you get the water from the roof into the mikveh? I got to mention yesterday, we got to use some kind of piping. Well, the piping, metal piping, is mekabel tumah. But there's a klal in Hilchos Kelim. Dovos shanase likvoa bakaka, something which is made to be implanted in the ground, the chatila. It is clearly a kind of piping which is used only for that purpose, to make it mechuvah l'karka. That would apply to our downspouts, our gutters. They have no other utility but to be attached to a house. They're not used for anything else. That's the big heter. Okay? If you want to use a stainless steel mikveh, then yikru hatasin shadayin eruil etashmi. Moshe itzol lachatchon lefi amida. Make sure you buy them in the sizes that are in the industrial size, not fit for anything yet. If you want to use them, you have to cut them down to size, so they're not already made for any special use. If they share a ruach biyosel or shein chalokim, or they have to be filed down, Shach mitzad amida hei roi lish tashmish, ab mikol mokom, ho chaser in tikun, vab a gomei kli matzis, as I mentioned before, a kli that's unfinished, may have a base kibble even, but if you still didn't complete your work on the kli, so you're not finished, in your opinion, with this kli. And the opinion is, the baal, one who owns it, it's what's that called? Kalim olin b'machshava, v'nyodin b'machshava. A thing which is, in your opinion, not finished yet, because you're meticulous, you're a mafunok, right? And you want it to be nicer, therefore it's not finished, so for you it's not a kli. I'm not so careful, for me it's a kli. Who decides it? The owner. Whoever the owner of the kli, that decides whether it has a shem kli or not a shem kli. Aber mikol mokom, ho chaser in tikun, therefore it's golem kli mateches. Golem, right? The word golem meaning unformed, right? That's the term there. It's an unformed kli mateches, therefore it's also toholin and can be used for the mikveh. You want the answer? Sure, no problem. You want to make a stainless steel big bathtub. Very nice. It's easy to keep clean, etc. Very, very good for avoiding leakage, etc. Trouble is, it's not done, except by some meshugana who's willing to pay for it. It's a very, very expensive thing to do. It's a good idea, but halacha lemaisa, they basically use swimming pool cement. Okay, cement comes in all kinds of grades. One is called marine cement. That's what's used for swimming pools, and that's basically what's used for mikvahs today. It's a highly waterproof cement. Also fairly expensive to use, but it's easy to use. You smear it on, and there's no shine of kalim, etc., etc. Yeah.
Rebbe, your comment about, you know, whether or not it's a keli depends upon the owner of the kli and what his makshava is. Doesn't that have very significant ramifications for Hilchos Shabbos in terms of making kelim when opening something? So somebody could argue, well, you know, this, you're making this a kli. Well, not if I don't consider it a kli.
No,
does it?
No, that's Shabbos. No, that was a Michael Dyson. A tikkun it is. No, there's no such thing as. I mean, I'm aware that in Tells, that's a big source of that heta. In Tells, they allow them to open up cans on Shabbos, claiming that we don't use that as a kli. So I didn't make a kli. That's not true. There is clearly bottle digest called by the other. I used to go about this time of the year. We always went for a week to the Virgin Islands to be with Herman Wolk and St. Thomas. And I remember how impressed I was on the waterfront. You saw these dinghies, miserable looking sailboats, so it never would stay afloat, loaded with cans that you throw out, food cans, right? When this guy goes from island to island selling it. So your wife wants stainless steel and something with a $200 price tag for a chol pot, right? They have no problems. They took your, remember, big cans of pork and beans. You used to see big cans of pork and beans, right? That's their chol pot. they make good use of it. They pay a few cents for it. It wears out, leaks something, throw it away, get another one. We've been spoiled. That's why I love them. I say it's a big kilkul that's crept in by Shrev's Jewish on soda bottles. There, once upon a time, you had halachic soda bottles. There was a cap, and you had an opener, and you opened it up. Fine. You're allowed to open up a can on Shabbos if you're not making a kli. Why? The cap is a cap, and the kli is a kli. Fine. And if you open up carefully, I can take that cap and reuse it. right? Put it back on, hit it hard, and you have it back again. Yeah. Then came, for economical purposes, economical advantage, right? A cap, which is put on by a machine, right? It's a piece of aluminum, and then as it goes under there, hand comes down and squeezes it, right, again. And now you can't take it off. The only way you can take it off is by ripping it, by breaking it, right? Before that, it's not a cover. It can't be used. When you go ahead and you rip off that bottom part or break off those perforations, right, you now have a kisui, which can be used over and over again, right? That's a kli. You make a kli, it's vade isur d'oraisa. People, I say it's a big hill came in because the people I see, even you go to sometimes you see, you invite for Shabbos for a bar mitzvah or for Sheva Brachos, and you see the tables are, each table has a few bottles of soda on it, and they're not open. And our shul, the goy knows that one of his jobs is to come down and Shabbos shoot this time, right, and make sure that every bottle is open. Can't even tell him to do it. Milalakum, he has to know that's his job all week. Yeah. Okay, any other questions? So that finishes off the shiurim. Now, we have a number of tshuvas that we'll be discussing largely on Zochlin. Right, that's where the beginning, and then we'll have to run to make sure we covered everything that's in here. On Zochlin, what's called Zochlin? The big machlokas, how much of a zechila do you need before you pass a mikveh? And that's a omnipresent shaila. Right. Sooner or later, every mikveh develops a leak. Right. Yeah. And the shaila is, must you close the mikveh down until it can be repaired? Sometimes it may take many weeks to repair a leak. Mikveh is not in a convenient spot. It's on the ground. How do you get to the bottom? Not so simple. If I had the ability, I would have every mikveh like old-fashioned bathtubs, standing on legs, and legs mechubal karka. Then you can get to underneath also. Yeah. But that's not the way it's done. And no one wants to take the chance the legs will collapse while a woman is in there.
Yeah, that much water is very heavy.
Huh?
That much water is very heavy.
Yeah, that's it. That's the reason. Okay, let's stop here.